chapter 2. So let's start from Acts chapter 2 this morning as we prepare for this coming Saturday, because we're going to be gathering together. Now, before you read Acts chapter 2, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and I'm going to read from verse 23. 1 Corinthians 14 from verse 23. 1 Corinthians 14 from verse 23. It says, "If therefore the old church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad?" So notice, Paul is not saying that what they are saying is right. He's simply saying this is the conclusion that people who are unlearned and those who are unbelievers will come to. Now, in that verse also, Paul is also calling your attention to the fact that the old church has already come together. Now, there are those who are unlearned, they are members of the church. Then there are unbelievers who are probably invited, they're not members of the church. So we have three categories of people: the old church, the unlearned, who are meant to be members of the church, and then there is the unbelievers. So Paul is calling attention to something very crucial. If the old church be come together into one place. So notice, the place is not a church. It's the people coming together that make up the church. Hallelujah. Remember, this physical facility can be used for other functions other than church service. It is when we gather that makes this place holy. So it's our gathering that is holy. It's our gathering that sanctifies the place and confers on it the temple of God. So it says, if the old church, so the church is made up of many, many members, not one, not two. Many members. It says, if the old church be come together into one place. So it's an agreed coming together. They are assembling with a particular purpose. They want to demonstrate what it means for Jesus to be risen from the dead. They want to come together to demonstrate the supernatural realities of our redemption. That's why they are coming together. Because they can, so to speak, fellowship in small groups in different locations. They are still the church. But when they come together by agreement, notice, and all speak with tongues. So when it says all speak with tongues, that already gives you a definition of what it means by unlearned. So it is normal for the whole church to come together and all speak with tongues. Now, put your hand there, go back to verse 1, and let's take this step by step this morning, because I need you to intelligently understand so that you'll be ready to not just yield today, but getting ready to yield on Saturday also. Now, notice where it starts from. It says, follow after charity, that's love, and desire spiritual grace, but rather that you may what? Prophesy. We're using King James, and King James can be a little bit tricky. But what it says is this. It says, follow after charity or love. That means let love lead the way. So love is present because you're a believer. And that says, let love lead the way in your desire for things of the Spirit. Let me say this way. For love to lead the way in your desire, it means your desire is not to have. Your desire is to minister. Let me say that again. You have, say, have the things of the Spirit. I have the Spirit of God. In that Spirit, I've received the manifestation of the Spirit for the profit of others. So you have the Spirit. Remember, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12. Now we have received. Not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, that we may know the things which are one, freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak. We're going to get back there. But notice what it says now. We have the Spirit. We have received the Spirit. That's the word lambano, to lay hold of the Spirit. We have laid hold of the Spirit. And it's not the spirit of what we're talking about. It's the Spirit that's of God, that we may know the things which are freely given to us of God. So 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1 starts with the assumption that you have read chapter 2. It's a long letter. It was broken down into chapters and verses for the sake of reference, but Paul didn't put chapters and verses. He just wrote a letter, an epistle to the church, and is giving them understanding concerning the realities they believed. That's what he's doing. So he says, follow after love, or let love lead the way, and desire spirituals. You see the word gifts italicized? Okay, so it says desire the things of the Spirit. Well, spirituals means the things of the Spirit. Desire the things of the Spirit. That is, those things you have, desire. Now, if I'm going to desire what I already have, it can't be for me to have it. I have to desire in order to be able to what? Administer it. Hence, it starts by saying, let love be the motivation. He has said some things in the previous chapter. He told them to honestly covet the best spiritual gifts. He now says, I show unto you a more excellent way. It's the excellent way he's teaching chapter 14. So the more excellent way is the way of love. Love means I prefer my brother and my sister to myself. I also came to receive, but it's my preferring my brother and sister to get them blessed that I will get blessed. Hallelujah. Are you following me this morning? So it says, follow after. So love is leading. Compassion is showing you the pathway to walking. It's now saved to desire. That is to take hold of what God has given to you. But notice, when you're taking hold, your aim, which is the aim of love, must be to prophesy. So in this chapter, let me say it again. To prophesy is Paul's way of teaching how do you emphasize edifying the saints. He uses the word prophesy in a general sense, specific and general. General in the sense that if he focuses on prophecy, he's simply saying, I need you to minister the things of the Spirit in a language that all men will understand. That's what he's trying to say. Hence the word prophesy here. So prophesy doesn't always mean you're giving for revelation. It simply means the things of the spirit which you have received, ministers in such a way that people will what understand in their language. If you're with me, say amen. Good. So read, use it in that generic form. So it says, follow after love, desire things of the spirit, but rather, or especially that you may what? Prophesy. Now look at verse 4. We're going to come back. Look at verse 4. What is prophecy? He that speaks in tongues edifies himself, but he that prophesies does what? Edifies the church. Can you see that now? So can you see why he says that? But rather that you may what? Prophesy. So if you're reading verse 4, can we say, rather that he may edify the church? Is it the same thing? Is that the same thing? So follow after love, desire things of the spirit, but rather that you may edify the church. That's what prophesy there. That you may edify the church. So notice, I will not use the word rather, which is a language that shows choice. It shows decision. It speaks about your determination. Plays a role in fulfilling the scripture. That's what it means. The implication is that whatever is asking to desire is not entirely up to God when it comes to ministering it. It has a lot to do with you. Now, God has given you the spirit. You have the supply. So what is up to you and not up to God is whether you would desire with love as the aim. That's what Paul is teaching. He's not teaching them to have. He's teaching them how to use what they have. In other words, if I'm going to take the things of the Spirit, this should be the reason for taking. This should be the reason why I want to minister. Praise God. That's very important. Because again, as we begin to minister, it is never to show off. You already walked out of love. It is that somebody else needs to be blessed. And that's one of the reasons why I will need to overcome my own weaknesses and feelings of estimation. When you're in self-esteem, you know, I don't feel like I'm worthy. You have to overcome that in order to be a blessed somebody. Because Jesus made you worthy. Jesus has made me worthy. There's therefore now no condemnation to me that I'm in Christ Jesus. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ has made me free from love, sin, and death. Now, let me say something very important before I go on. You know, it's good that you study the word of God, listen to the previous message, so you can be prepared, and you spend some time to pray. But listen carefully. Even if you do none of this, those things will prepare you to minister, but those things necessarily are not responsible for you having the Spirit. Salvation, true faith in Christ, gave you the Spirit. So whether you study or you don't study, you pray or you don't pray, you have the Spirit. Jesus ensured that the supply got to you when you made him your Lord and Savior. So your studying and praying is not to get the Spirit, is to know what of the Spirit to minister. Let me say that again. That's what your study and prayer does. It helps you to condition your mind. It helps you to submit to the authority of God's word. That is, your mind is now renewed in line with this is who I am in Christ. And then to get ready to minister, you are built up enough to give somebody the things of the Spirit. Say, I have the things of the Spirit. Again, let me say, so if I study and I pray, it makes me conscious of what I have. If I'm not conscious of what I have, it doesn't change the fact that I have it. My consciousness will govern my being able to minister it to people or my readiness to minister it or not. That's what consciousness does. So my study and prayer helps my consciousness. That's what it does. But this morning, just in case you didn't pray this week, just in case you didn't study this week, and you are thinking, I'm not worthy, he has made you worthy. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God has what? Ordained that you should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. So say this morning, I'm God's workmanship. I'm the work of his hands. His logo is in me by his spirit. I can minister the things of the spirit by faith. Let me say it again. When you are feeling the weakest and most undeserving and least qualified, is the best time to minister the things of the spirit by faith. When you're feeling like, you know, you don't just have it all together. You feel like I'm not even spiritual at all in my emotions, my feelings. That's the best time to reach out and minister. Why? Because it's not of him that will and not him that render. It's God that shows what? Mercy. That's very important. So let's get that clear. So it's important to pray. It's important to study. That is to prepare you to minister what God has given you to the saints. It will help your mind, your consciousness. It will influence your will and readiness. That's what it does. But all those things don't give you the spirit. You already have the spirit. Say, I have the spirit. Say, I've received the spirit. I'm to minister the spirit. Now, one of the things you must erase from your consciousness when we are in a meeting like this is, I can't. Your language must be, I can and I will. Tell yourself, I can and I will minister the things of the spirit this morning. Now, when you come to a buffet before, most of us have gone for buffets before. If you don't understand how it operates, you know, for the first time you go there, maybe you're just thinking, let me just pack my plate full of everything that's possible. If you see veterans who have been used to buffets, you'll be surprised. You even think that, what's wrong with this one? They just take a few things here and there. They're going to go and sit down. 3 hours, they're still there. Just take a little. They come back, they take a little. You, JJC, just come. Look for the biggest plate. We will finish everything here. In 15 minutes, you are looking like you are drunk. Your tummy is full. You can hardly move. And you're looking at all the other goodies. You think those who are charged for being, they don't know what they're doing. So there is a way you come in when it comes to you understanding that, particularly because you are in a local assembly, when you come together, listen carefully, there are graces and supplies at work that are not at work when you are on your own at home. So this morning you can say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I will take the word of knowledge and be a blessing to someone. The same way you say that, what will you have? I'll have a little bit of Chinese rice. A little bit of, you have lobster. Is that prawns? Okay, let me have some prawns. Now, you are the one deciding they've provided everything. You are the one that comes and does what? And you serve yourself. Don't you serve yourself? You are the one that determines what you are going to take of the Spirit. Can God give to you? Yes. That's the part most of us are used to. But there's a part of you taking, lambano, to take. So somebody says, how do I take? Is it just by sitting? Father, give me word of knowledge. Give me word of wisdom. That's fine. That's the beginning. How do you show God you mean it? What's the next step to do after you have said that in English? Now, the problem with giving illustrations and examples in tongues is that it cannot just be an example. Okay, so they've given you the contract. You're waiting for the check to come out, and you're a little bit pensive that you don't have supplies to take care of the job. It will come out this week. That's what I said in tongues. That's just summary. Amen. Now, so it can be a revelation. It can be a prophecy. It can be a revelation. It can be a prophecy. So, but exercising yourself that way is your way of telling God, I'm ready to receive the word of knowledge. I'm ready to receive the word of wisdom. I gave the word of knowledge now and the word of wisdom at the same time, through tongues and interpretation. So I'm ready to receive the sign of spirits. Actually, I also saw the things I said. So you tell God you are ready. You take. How do you take? By starting with tongues. Do you understand? Paul is teaching this in such a way that no believer has an excuse. You cannot say, Pastor, I don't know what I'm going to say. They will ask you, did you begin with tongues? Every believer can start with what? Tongues. Every single believer. What are you doing when you begin with tongues? You are showing your readiness to receive and to minister. That's what you're doing. So you have no right to say, I don't have what to minister, when you have the capacity to speak with tongues. Notice, how is it when you all come together? That's what it says. Into one place and all speak with tongues. That means everybody has capacity to minister the things of the Spirit. The minute it has been set to, they can speak with tongues. So go back to that verse 23, 1 Corinthians 14, 23. So the whole church comes together into one place. Are we in one place this morning? And all speak with tongues. If you can speak with tongues, let me see your hand. You can speak with tongues. Okay, so you just agreed that you're a minister just now. Amen. You said, I am a minister. That's what you just said by doing this. And the Spirit of God saw you, and I also saw you. Amen. So say, I'm a minister. You say, I'm a minister. So that's what you just said. And all speak with tongues. And they are coming. Those that are online, the unbelievers. Notice, all speak with tongues. Then among those who came in, two categories. So notice the church. People who are diligent in their understanding of God's word, they always come to meetings early. They don't come late. Do you notice that unbelievers and unlearned, they come together? Unlearned means that not trained in things of the Spirit. Somebody who has refused to grow, who has ignored the teaching he has been given. He comes to church late. It's such as a casual encounter, a social gathering. How shall I get there when I'm ready? The same person gets to the airport on time, never misses a flight, shows priority. He's unlearned. Unlearned means an untrained. Idiotis, actually, in the Greek. You don't want to be that. Say, I'm not that. Say, I'm a believer. I'm learned. So that's what that word is, idiotis. I don't know if it has any root connect with idiot. I just know what it says in the Greek. So it says, and the church has come together. And here come in those who are unlearned or unbelievers. Will they not say? So look at what this crowd is saying, including the person who is a member of the church who is not learned. He's saying, will they not say you are mad? So somebody who is learned, what will he do? Let's assume somebody who is learned even comes late, even though people learned don't come late. They know that they should get to the meeting on time. Somebody says, why? At the beginning of the meeting is where the direction is set. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's when you pick up direction at the beginning of the meeting, not in the middle. That's when you have an understanding of the direction is going. You miss exhortation. You miss prayer. You miss worship. What is left? Let's count it. Exhortation, prayer, zero. Exhortation, zero. Worship, zero. Your continuous assessment, what are we used to judge you again? You're not listening to the word. And then person has said something, and say, it's like I'm not feeling what is in. You cannot feel it. You cannot. Your belly is empty. You cannot. You are not edified. You're not built up. So you don't know what we're talking about. But when you come at the beginning, from the exhortation and prayer, there's a direction we have received already. Starts from the person praying. So the meeting starts from the person leading prayers. And then the exhortation buttresses it. We know now how to focus on the things of the Spirit. Then the people who are leading worship steer up everyone in the Spirit. We're built up. But when you come in late, everything we do will look strange to you. But you are the strange one that we just came in. It's your own thought that is different from what we're doing. So if the church come together in one place and all speak with tongues. So if you're intending what you do when we're all speaking in tongues, you join us and start speaking. You join us and we start speaking. Look at Acts chapter 2. This is how to come to church next Saturday. Acts chapter 2 from verse 1. Glory to Jesus. There's a way to come. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were there by agreement. They were there because of an understanding. They were there because the time was set by the Spirit. They were all with one accord, same mind, same thought, same purpose. Having received the same teaching, having had the same teacher. Verse 2, look at what happened next. Notice, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were what? Standing. What were they doing? Sitting. Notice they were sitting. And look at verse 3. And there appeared unto them. Who is them? But the 120. So everybody heard the sound. Everybody saw the vision. What was the vision? They appeared unto them, clothed on like as of fire, and they sat upon each of them. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit did what? Gave them utterance. And the question is, did somebody stand up and say, one, two, go? No. They had received the same teaching. They began, will imply, at various stages. Not necessarily at the same time. At the same time means within the same moment. When the vision came and they heard the sound of the Spirit and they saw the sight of the Spirit, they began. That means they yielded. They began. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began. So to begin means there was a time they initiated and they started. And when they started, they found utterance by the Holy Ghost and began to speak forth. So 120 gathered together, all speaking with tongues. This continued for the space of about 3 hours before people came around them. And look at verse 11. Cretans, Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and without saying one to another, what meaneth this? So those are the unbelievers. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, so up till this time they were what? Sitting. Can you sit down and pray in tongues for 3 hours? The answer is yes. Well, they were not necessarily praying, they were speaking, and they tarried for close to 3 hours. So the explosion we saw on the day of Pentecost was not accidental, it was not sudden. It was a build-up. It was a manifestation that was sudden, but there was a build-up for 3 hours. When the day fully came, they were gathered together. For the day to fully come, that's 6 a.m. in the morning. By the time this book came around, it was 9 a.m. That's 3 hours. And they tarried together. Now, it says, but Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up a voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, hearken to my words. Look at next verse. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by who? The prophet Joel, verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Now, when you hear last days, that means the culmination of the ages. The season of fulfillment of the promise of God. So, last days doesn't mean end of time. Last days means the culmination of the ages. The season of fulfillment of the promise of God. That's the phrase for last days. So, it doesn't mean end of time. We're in the last days now. They were in the last days then. We're still in the last days. What? So, last days were 2,000 years old. And we're still in the last days. We're in the last of the last days. Amen. So, it shall come to pass. So, this will become a reality. It will become a practice. It will come into expression in the last days. So, in the last days will mean in that season, you will see this fulfilled, which has begun now. So, they first demonstrated and they began to explain the demonstration. What did they do? They began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke about the wonderful works of God. Now, listen carefully. So, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, whatever happened in Acts chapter 2, Paul, by the Spirit of God, is giving us teaching by present an example what happened in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 again. Where are we? Verse 23. Let's go to verse 24. Quickly, see what it says. For if all, say if all, that includes me, if all prophesy, and there come in one that believes not, or one that is unlearned, he is what? Convicted of all, he is judged of all. So notice who are they all who prophesy? They all who spoke in tongues. So notice, all who speak in tongues have the ability to switch. So what is Paul teaching? When you gather together and you speak with tongues, until you stand up to minister, it is fine to stay with tongues. It is when you need to minister to somebody that you want, you switch. Let me say this way. If we come together and we pray in tongues, all we're doing, we're speaking to God and edifying ourselves. But when it's time to minister to people and you stand to minister, what are you meant to do? You are meant to switch. Does that involve God or involves your will? Does that involve God or involves your will? It's your will. Notice carefully. They use their will to speak with tongues. When unbelievers and unlearned came in, they were commanded to switch. So the instruction of God's word is that you are meant to switch, or this is the will of God, switch. So if I come to you now, look at verse 5. Just follow me step by step. We're going to go back and forth. I will that you all speak with tongues, since all of you have the Spirit. So now that you have the Spirit, I want you to demonstrate that ability by all of you speaking with tongues, but rather, or it should be because you want to what? Prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. So edification is the whole point of this epistle. Paul is now saying this. He says, you know what? All of you can speak with tongues, but when it comes to the guardian of the saints, do it with one aim. The aim is to edify. How will you edify? You must switch from tongues to what? Prophecy, by interpreting your tongues. Now look at next verse. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with what? Tongues. Can you see the difference now? So tongues is fine if I'm not coming to you. But on the minute I come to you, I must learn to switch. Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, potentially what I'm bringing to you is profit. But it's not profit if I keep it at tongues. It is only profit when I learn to interpret. That's what it's teaching. Implying that interpretation is a function of your will and my will. That's what it's teaching. So, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by what? Revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by a teaching. That's doctrine. So, when I begin to speak with tongues, I am demonstrating a readiness to minister. What am I going to minister? What the Spirit has supplied. How will supply get to you? I must be able, by the exercise of my will, to switch from tongues to interpretation, which is called prophesying, so that you can receive the profiting. What will that profiting carry? It will carry revelation or knowledge or what? A word of prophecy or teaching, which is doctrine. That is instruction. That's what it's saying. So it's saying that by the exercise of your will, this is New Testament doctrine. This is part of what has come to pass, according to Peter. It shall come to pass in the last days, said the Spirit of God. I'll pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. How is God pouring out Spirit? By prophecy. And how do you get ready for prophecy? The same thing that they didn't accept or two. They began to speak. So my beginning to speak is my announcing. I have something to minister to you, to profit you. You are also ready to receive what I've brought to you. So if I come to you speaking with tongues alone, how shall I profit you? Except. Except to mean, why don't I unbundle what I've begun with? So I can go as far as tongues, or I can move beyond tongues and step into what? Prophecy, which is to edify the church. Now ask yourself this question. This morning, are you ready to edify someone? Are you ready to bless someone? Now listen carefully. Tongues doesn't come from your mind. It comes from your spirit. So what tongues will convey will also come from the same source. What are you meant to do? You will exercise your power of your will in order to allow what is inside of the tongues to find expression to be a blessing to people. So the fact that you can speak with tongues is already a sign you carry edification within you in a limitless measure. What is left, therefore, is not God's part. It's your part. So is God ready to bless at all times? The same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. Listen, in days of the healing revival, history says that there were ministers who fell ill, who passed out, particularly in ministering healing to people. They will finish the tenth meeting. People will still be waiting. They minister till 12 midnight. They've not eaten. They've not slept. They will minister till 4 a.m. Why would they keep ministering? Because there was a ready supply. Let me say it this way. God will not say you are tired, I won't flow again. No, God will keep flowing as long as there's a demand. You are the one who has enough sense to know that I am tired. And interesting about being tired is that if you are too tired, you will not pick. Let me say it proper way. You will not connect. There will be loss of connectivity. Someone says, why? Because another voice speaking to you, the voice of tiredness, will be louder than the voice of the Spirit. But there were ministers who, because you operated so much by a gift, the mantle of gift will be so much stronger upon you. Keep ministering until you are worn out. So they had to put checks and balance, because God will keep supplying as long as there's a demand. Say, I have a demand, there's a ready supply. Now, let me say this way. The knowledge of the teaching, look at 1 Corinthians 12, because it's important that you recognize that. You are not waiting on God, God is waiting on you. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, quickly. Now, concerning things of the Spirit, brethren, I would not have you what? Ignorant. Now, I told you last week, what ignorant means to ignore. They have the knowledge. He brought in them the testimony of God. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. At the time, it know nothing among you except Jesus and him crucified. I was between weakness and in fear, much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with enticements of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of truth and of what power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but where? So he gave them the gospel. The outcome was that now we have received, not the spirit of this world, but the spirit of God. So these people had the Spirit. Chapter 3, he told them, know you not that you are the temples of the living God, and God dwells in you. You are God's garden. He told them. So when he speaks to them in chapter 12, and he says, now concerning things of the Spirit, I will not have you ignorant. That word translated as ignorant is what that means, to ignore the realities I've given to you. What were they ignoring? The fact that things of the Spirit are for edification, not for show off. that to build other saints up. So in other words, for a believer to say, Pastor, I spoke with tongues, but nothing is coming. But I thought you said you just spoke in tongues now. And Bible says that the tongues will carry something. It means the tongues is a conduit for the things that will edify the saints. So what you have not done really is not that you don't have anything to say, because you have not what? Interpreted. It takes schooling in the word of God for you to understand that. Say, I can speak with tongues, I can interpret. I can speak with tongues, and I will interpret. And I'll do it consciously and deliberately. So it's not about God not giving. If God is not going to give you, he won't give you tongues in the first place. 120, they all began. And nobody should have said, excuse me, Apostle Peter, I don't have tongues. Can I receive my own tongue specially? No, everybody began. Everybody ministered something that day. Bible says they spoke about the wonderful works of God. Everybody. Paul now says, when you all come together and all speak with tongues, then all should be able to prophesy. Because there are people who are here now who need to be what? Edified. So what you were doing when you were doing tongues before was that you were edifying yourself, which is two ways. You may need the building up and the supernatural confidence, but the other reason why you're edifying yourself is so that you can minister to what? Someone. Praise God. Now, so 1 Corinthians 12, go me to verse 7. Are you here this morning? Now, sometimes the spirit, well, depends on the individual interpreting also, we use language of literature. So I just spoke based on the things I saw. So of course, you know, we're not talking about sheep really. Amen. So sheep is a figure of speech. I've already told you business. Amen. So when you start embark on a project and there's no natural backing anywhere, and God says, I will back you and I'll supply what's necessary. If you got that, let me see. Oh, thank you. So don't pay too much attention to the flowery language. That is me. Amen. That's how I yield. So if you come up and do speaking, blessed be God. We will still be blessed. Amen. Were you blessed by the pigeon prophecy the other time? Were you blessed by it? Did you connect? Say, so somebody walks up to you now and gives him other language now. Somebody can come and minister to you in Igbo language, if you understand Igbo. If you carry more weight, it will still connect. It's still prophecy. You still interpreted what it is that you said. That's important. So verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit. Hallelujah. But the manifestation of the Spirit. The full disclosure is given to every man. Notice, it's for the profit of all. That's what they were ignoring. It's for the prophet. So the manifestation of the Spirit is not for me. It can only be for me through you. But when it's given to any man, it's for others. So that man who is giving to others will have to receive from another. That's the way God wants us to be blessed. But the manifestation is given to every man. Listen carefully. When it's given through a man, it's always for another man. When it's given to you, it will be through what? Another man. There are a few exceptions which I'm going to today. But the manifestation is given for the prophet, because sometimes you need to learn how to receive from the anointing that's upon you sometimes. But the manifestation is given to every man for the profit of all. So God has given, say, God has given me the manifestation. By one spirit, I've been baptized into one body. In that body, that same spirit guides me and leads me to minister to people. That's what that spirit does. So he's giving them fundamental teaching to cure them of their ignorance, or to stop them from ignoring the fact that people need to be edified. So we have brothers that will get up. Listen carefully. Go back to 1 Corinthians and chapter 14. Listen, verse 26. Let's from verse 26. Glory to Jesus. How is them, brethren? When you come together, are we together this morning? Every one of you, say every one of us. Say that includes me. Say I'm in this glorious company. Hallelujah. He said, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm as a doctrine, has a tongue as a revelation, as an interpretation. Let all things, what is it, all things? The tongue, the psalm, the doctrine, the revelation. Let it be for the purpose of what? Edification. That's what he's saying. How is it when we come together, all these are present? That's not the problem. The issue is that will it be used to what? Edify. So how do I edify? I must move from the tongue to interpret it. I must get the psalm out to you so you can be blessed. I must get the revelation out so you will hear what God is saying, so you can enter through the door of rejoicing. That means I must get off or out of my own consciousness that is limiting. I must overcome fears and doubts in order to come to you speaking so that I can profit you. I must overcome my ignorance. See what it says. It says in verse 27, look at 27. If any man speaks in tongues, let it be by two or at the most by three. Let it be by two or three utterances. Not saying two different. He's talking about the same person who is speaking. He speaks the first time, he speaks the second time. He must not do more than three utterances in tongues before he gives an interpretation. That's what he's teaching. Are you following me this morning? He's giving order. He just told you all these are present. So we have no problem with these things being present. What he's teaching is how do you administer for the sake of edification and order. He says, if any man speaks in tongues, let it be by two or at most by three. That means don't do more than three utterances in tongues without interpretation. Once you get to three and you don't interpret, go and sit down. That's what he's teaching. So if I give an utterance in tongues, I'm meant to what? Interpret, because I'm standing to minister. So if any man speaks in tongues, let it be by two or by three, and that by God as one after the other, and let one, that's impersonating what? Interpret. Look at the next verse. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence where? In the church. Did he say he should keep silent? Did he say he should keep silent? Let's read again. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence where? In the church. What does it mean to keep silent in the church? Not talk at all. No, no. To keep silent just means don't minister to anyone. Don't speak in tongues to anyone. Speak to what? To yourself and to God. What is Paul doing? There are believers at different levels of growth and understanding. He's going to mention people now he calls prophets shortly. And the people he's calling prophets, he's not talking about prophets in the specific sense, in the generic sense. He's talking about people who have learned to yield to God, speak God's mind in a gathering. He's now about to say, you know what? If you are going to speak with tongues to us, you are not going to interpret. Keep silent in the church. It means that don't address anyone in that local assembly. Spend time speaking to who? To yourself and to God. In other words, listen carefully. You are not out of the game yet. The reason why you spoke in tongues, you didn't interpret, is because you are not built up enough. You didn't gather enough boldness. Now, go and sit down in a corner. Speak to yourself and to God. Gather boldness, then come back. Did you hear what I said? It means don't give up. See, when you first start out, you may say, Pastor, it's like, it's not coming. To tell you, go and sit down until it comes. How do you sit down until it comes? Keep silence in the church. What do you do to keep silence? You don't address anyone. You speak to yourself and to God. So to keep silence doesn't mean don't say anything. No, it will always be right to speak with tongues. Always. But when it comes to addressing the saints, hold back. Take a moment to step aside. Sit down. Build yourself up again so that you can come and what? Edify the church. Hallelujah. Look at the next verse. So when it says, if there be no interpreter, what it means is that if you are not bringing forth the interpretation, because it's not possible that there be no interpretation, there must be interpretation. So how do you remedy the fact that you are not yielding to interpretation? You speak to yourself and to God, which is you are building up yourself. Remember, he that speaks in tongues edifies himself. So go and edify yourself. And as you're edifying yourself, you are getting ready to go a second time or a third time. And now it says, look at verse 29. Let the prophets, those who are ready, those who have acknowledged these spiritual realities and ready to walk in it, he calls them prophets, those who are speaking the mind of God for the hour, say, let them speak two or three and let the other. Interestingly, one other is the word alos, same. Let the same judge. What does it mean to judge? It should bring forth the revelation in language you all understand. Look at what says next. If anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first one do what? Hold the space. So, in other words, last week we were comparing notes. Somebody sang a song. Somebody had a scripture. Somebody had a revelation. We put everything together. They're part of the things that happened. So, we knew that God was moving in the area of healing. What did we do? We began to minister to those who were sick. Hallelujah. Remember that? So, we can come together and gather what God wants. This direction God is flowing part time, not the entire meeting, part time. Which is for now, God is moving in this direction. We flow. What is the next thing God wants to do? All trust will come, revelation will come. And when we put our heads together, we know the next thing God wants to do. That's the beauty of a local assembly. Now, when we have enough time to practice principle, it's amazing the kind of results that we're going to get. It's simply amazing. When you have enough time to devote to this kind of practice. So Sunday morning, we don't have all the time in the world. But Saturday, 6 hours, come on time. Hallelujah. We're not going to miss you. We won't skip you. We'll give you room. You ought to come to the service that day with the mindset that you're going to do something. You're going to minister something. You will say something. How do you come? If I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I speak to you either by. And Paul is counting the one thing. Look at that 1 Corinthians 12 again. We're in verse 7. Let's go to verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of knowledge, to another word of wisdom, to another word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecies, to another design of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Now look at the next verse, verse 11. All this worketh that one, the self same Spirit, dividing to every man. Are you among every man here? So dividing to every man. The word divide means distributing to every man severally. The word several means one by one or individually. So what governs the distribution? God or the men? Is the men. Notice all this worketh. The word working means energizing. Let me say it this way. God wants somebody to be supernaturally blessed by the word of knowledge. So there's a working of God available for work of knowledge. There's a brother who is yielded to that word of knowledge. When that brother yields, that working of God becomes available to be received. Yes or no? So there's a degree to which there are things God wants to do this morning by a working. That working will not come into expression until someone within that assembly receives that working and expresses it. So if I come to you speaking with tongues, I will begin to interpret. That interpretation is a working of God being given to somebody else. But in every single service, there's a walking that God wants to walk. Because God is that invisible personality in our midst, the walking will not be seen or received until somebody receives it. Do you understand so far? So walking, invisible. Administration, visible. My role is to administer the walking of God. What is he calling walking? All this, all the nine expressions. Walking that one, the self-same Spirit, dividing or distributing. So you can say this way, this morning as we're seated, the Spirit of God is looking for those to distribute to, who will take by function of their will, what what people need to receive this morning. That's what he's simply doing. As we're speaking, as I'm teaching, what he's simply doing is looking for people who are ready to take or to lambano or to lay hold. Why? There's a walking. And that walking finds expression as you yield. So as I yield, as you yield, that walking now finds outward expression to be a blessing to many. That's the way God operates in local assembly. And that's one of the reasons why you won't hear God speak to you with a loud, audible voice all the time. Occasionally, yes. Why the voice of God that wants to speak is through prophecy to somebody who is yielded, who is submitted to the authority of God's word to be a blessing to somebody else. That's the way it operates. So you have to make yourself a willing vessel and a channel to express those things that God wants to work through everyone who is yielded. Say, I'm willing and I'm obedient and I'm ready this morning to flow with the Spirit and to yield to the things of the Spirit. So notice, all this worketh that one the same Spirit, dividing or distributing to every man severally as he will. Look at chapter 14. Let's read from verse 12. See what it says. Even so, as much as you are zealous, that's what desirous, of things of the Spirit, seek that you may want, excel. So notice, you are not receiving to have, you are receiving in order to minister. Why? You are to excel. What that's to overflow to the edifying of the church. Now look at the next verse. Wherefore, or for this reason, since edifying the church is your aim, let him that speaks in tongues. So who is speaking in tongues? The person who is desirous. What does he desire to do to edify the church? So since you want to edify the church, which is to minister to someone, then when you speak with tongues, you should desire to what? Interpret. Now look at the next verse. Okay. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Say with me, my mind may not understand when I speak with tongues. It doesn't change the fact. I'm speaking for what? Spiritual realities. It doesn't change the fact. Your mind is doing what your mind is meant to do. Unfruitful. That's what it's meant to do. It is scriptural. But look at the next verse. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. So the one will implies that you are the one that uses your will to express your desire. So I know the supply is available. I use my desire to receive. I use my will to express. Let me say that again. I know the supply is available. That's knowledge. I use my desire to what? Receive it. I use my will to express it. Can you see that now? Can you see the process now? So knowledge helps me to know that the supply is available. Desire makes me take hold of what's available. My will is used to express it. I will pray with the Spirit. I will. That is, I will. It's a function of my will. I will pray with the understanding also. That's what I'm meant to do. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with what? Understanding also. Again, the place where people usually get to and they get stuck is when they start asking questions. Even when they're already speaking in tongues. What if interpretation doesn't come? Tongues and interpretation is a union made in heaven. What God has joined together, let no man put what? Asunder. So if there is tongues, there must be interpretation. The question is, if you give your tongues, will you go ahead to interpret? What helps you to interpret? Remember, you are to edify the... If I do tongues alone, who is getting edified? Only you. So you're not working alone. It is only okay to do tongues alone if it's a preparation to be a blessing to somebody else. That is to prepare yourself to minister somebody else. But after a while, we'll look at you. This orientation is taking time. Because time is going. You should have been ready by now. Please come and give something to someone to receive. So I'm to take the supply of the Spirit, minister it to people. I'm to prepare myself to minister by starting with tongues. Then I can come to you. If I come to you speaking. So the things of the Spirit find expression primarily through speaking. Let me say this interestingly, because Satan has a way of counterfeiting the things of the Spirit or the things of the instructions in God's word. Have you noticed that there's hardly any form of sorcery or spell that can be cast without words? Have you noticed that? Absolutely none. If they give you a charm, they will still tell you what to say 3 times a day. Even if they ask you to lick it. Why must you say something? That's how it comes into operation, by words. As a counterfeit of the things of the Spirit, it's actually true. Because that's how the things of the Spirit work. So they will still ask you to speak words. At 12 midnight, touch your head with this. Then say one or two things. Why are they asking you to do that? Because that's how that thing is activated. So it is natural. It is vain, unproductive, until you take what you were given and you say something to it. Can you? Now, how did you enter into the reality of redemption? You believed in your heart, you confessed with your mouth. That's how you continue. So many times, when you want to minister, it is not wrong to speak to yourself first. You do tongues. That's in language unknown. You do understanding. I am going to be a blessing to someone. I am going to comfort someone today. I am going to minister revelation to somebody that would be a confirmation of God's faithfulness in your life. I am going to lay hands on somebody and transfer the power of God. What you're doing is that you are commanding the flow of the supply. That's what you're doing with words. Now, those words supersede your feelings. Your feelings are fickle. They can change. But the word of God lives and abides forever. I'm blessed. with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. All means all, less none. So all I need to be a blessing, I've been given already. I've been furnished with those things in Christ Jesus. When I open my mouth, the supernatural flows out and blessings are made manifest. Hallelujah. Say, I will. Say, I will. Say, I will. Hallelujah. That's the secret. I will. And then you begin. I will. So if all come together and speak with tongues, and they are coming those who are unlearned and unbelievers, notice, will they not say you are mad? Are you mad? No. That they are unbelievers and unlearned already categorizes them. So their understanding is limited. But notice next verse. But if all of you who were speaking in tongues just now all prophesy, what will be the response? And those who are unbelieving on them, when they come in, they are convinced of God's faithfulness and they are judged. And look at what they will do in verse 25. And those are the secrets of their heart made what? Manifest. And so falling down on their face, they will worship God and report that God is where? God is where? And let me say something to you. Interestingly, when you are ministering this way, you may not know what you are saying is eating home. I mean, what I'm talking about. You may not know that what you are saying is eating home. Was it last week or week before that we were looking at our evangelistic outreach? Last one that we reached out and I can't remember those people who were talking to a particular guy like that. His friends were standing from a distance. They were looking at him and they were preaching gospel to him. So I was just passing by looking for a captive to set free. So we're all walking, we're all on the street, all of us. I was passing by and I just had some things about him. So when he was speaking, I just went to him. I just said, you know, the hand of God is upon you. There's a plan of God for your life. He looked at me, said, hey, my dad's a pastor. When he said that, I said that, yes. And that's why some things that happened to the boys who are doing what you are doing has not happened to you. Your father's sacrifice is speaking, but there's a time limit. There's a time limit for the mercy of God. He was just telling, you have not met this person before, but the Holy Ghost knows you. He knows you. He knows the kind of words to speak that will arrest you. He knows exactly what to say that will arrest you. That will get your attention. Say yes. Because you're just thinking, you are doing what they are doing. They are getting because you're not getting because you think, you are just lucky. It's not lucky. It's the mercy of God that is prevailing in your life. So it's time to receive them because that same mercy is calling you now. Calling you now. Because there's an assignment for you to do. There's something in your life. Your father's sacrifice guarantees it. And of course, he paid more attention to what they were saying after that. So does God do things like that? Yes. In that case, an unbeliever. What about the believer? He is convinced of all. That person means that you are reassured of God's word, faithfulness. Now, imagine somebody just needs a word. He hasn't disclosed it to anybody. Just need to hear a word of comfort. And let me also say this. The things of the Spirit are so beautiful that listen to what I'm about to say. Because some of us, we are too... There's an image in your mind. When the Spirit of God wants to be that, you think this is how it must be. Listen. You are so rigid. Listen. You can go to somebody and feel like singing. You're like, what was all that? Is it praise and worship? Sing this song. You don't know what. You know, sometimes you see people do things in a meeting. And because part of our heritage in Christ is that when we come for an organized meeting like this, there are things God shows us that just happens. A process or what you call something just plays out. Jesus told Ananias, there's a man called Saul of Tarsus. Behold the praise. He has seen the vision. You coming in to lay your hands upon him that he may see. He has seen it already. He has seen it play out before it ever happened. He didn't know anybody called Ananias, but God showed him in the vision. So you can have visions of somebody coming, somebody you never met before, to fulfill God's plan and purpose. He can come like that. Now, why did I stop at that time? Because I saw somebody actually singing to someone, and I saw that person break down in tears. And the resentment towards a particular disappointment towards God just vanished. You don't know what a song based on instruction can do to somebody's life. To call the attention back to God. You know what you just did? You are prophesying. I am going to do it this morning. I'm saying that to reassure you will do it this morning. So it's not just a revelation. It's an instruction that when we are ministering one to another and that thing comes, go ahead and what? Minister. Just go ahead and minister it. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and give him thanks this morning. Say thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the flow of your spirit. Thank you for the manifestation of power. Thank you for your workings in our midst this morning. I am a willing vessel, a ready minister, and a recipient of your grace. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I show my gladness by setting up myself to minister the things of the Spirit. And I will minister, and people will be blessed, and lives will be changed. Glory to God. 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 Glory to God.